Willkommen zum Podcast der Initiative Regenerative Marktwirtschaft. Hier wollen wir herausfinden, wie eine umweltfähige Zukunft macht.
Welcome to today's episode of the podcast for the Initiative of the Regenerative Market Economy, where we now in season 2 explore how to think about community and how to get community into coherence. And I'm really happy today to have Felipe here. As we just remembered, we met many years ago for the first time, and just a few months ago, through our friends at AIM Imagination, we met again and found that the evolution of our lives has more or less moved in parallel, very similar things, and we wanted to take that as an opportunity to invite Felipe here into this podcast and share what he's working on. So without further ado, we start with the first and most difficult and maybe dangerous question. Who is Felipe?
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad to be here and happy to share a little bit about my story and what we're doing here over in Brazil. So I'm Felipe Amaral. I'm 40 years old. I am the husband of Rafaela and the father of Joaquim, which is 8 years old, and Antonio, which is 6 years old. I'm from Porto Alegre, south of Brazil. I'm living today in Porto Alegre. And I think I'm a very curious guy since I was in the end of school and the transition like to the workforce and university. I was really curious and unhappy with the world that I was seeing. So I went to work with companies. Then I said, no, companies are bad. So I want to work with good organizations like nonprofits and all of that. And then in this process of trying to like find my place or trying to change the world or something, I understood that I was just trying to find like what was Felipe came to do in the world. So like I thought that I was like the one that came to the world to change and save the world. But then I realized that was just an excuse for me to find something that mattered to me. And then in the process, in the last almost 20 years, I've been dedicating my career and my professional work to help young people navigate their life, their careers, and have opportunities of having a good life or the life that they want to live. Doing this in Brazil, which is a really unequal country. So like a lot of people, the majority of people don't have access to education, don't have access to good work opportunities, don't have access to a lot of things. I come from a privileged family, so I studied in a private good school. I went to a private university, and I had all the opportunities. And even though it was really tough for me, like to find my way to create my career, so imagine kids that don't have like a structure in the family. A lot of them don't have like love, like from people around them when they're kids. So then, when they grow, it's too challenging. When the world presents to them like that, there are no chances, almost no chances for them to succeed. So I worked for a long time thinking that entrepreneurship was a way from like young kids to find their path. But then after 8 years working like with supporting organizations and entrepreneurs and young people like to create their own business and their mentality to become entrepreneurs, I understood that in Brazil, entrepreneurship is like for an elite that has the opportunity to try to create a business, but if it doesn't work, they have structure, like to go back to their parents' house or to get some support. So we have a lot of entrepreneurs in Brazil that we call like survivor entrepreneurs. They don't have like, they don't want to become entrepreneurs. They need to get money and food in the table. So they create things, but that's a small portion of the population, because the biggest population, when we think of young people, they just want to have like a minimum good life. And for that, they need money. And to get money, they need a job. And then in the last 6 years, I started to investigate it and understood that entrepreneurship is important. We need to develop this, but most important was to create alternative pathways for young people from public schools in Brazil, which are the worst schools. So they don't have like good education. So they don't have access to universities, to help them to create an alternative pathway from the school to the workforce. And then if they get a good job, if they get money, they have the possibility to continue to study and maybe go to university or maybe don't go to university. But in Brazil, less than 18% of the students that graduate from public schools are going to go to university. So the majority is not going to university. Mm. If they don't have a degree, even though we know that degrees like are not so valuable as it was in the past. But in Brazil, we have research that if you have a bachelor's degree from university, you get three times a salary than a person that doesn't have. So even though we know that it's not like the path for everyone, in Brazil, if you don't have like a higher education degree, you're gonna get less money. So the work I've been doing in the last 6 years is to create these opportunities for young kids that are so potential, that have so many talents, to have minimum opportunities and tools for them to have the life that they want to live. We have today hundreds and hundreds of kids of stories that transform their lives. And my goal is, how can I scale this throughout Brazil and throughout Latin America, and maybe one day throughout the world?
It sounds to me like essentially you're trying to scale your own journey that was driven by curiosity, but then actually driven by the search for a mission. And then you found that basically in itself, in a very interesting fractal way. I like that. But that, it also begs a question. If you look at the drop-off of creativity and also curiosity due to the standard education system, it's pretty high. I don't have any numbers in my mind, but somebody recently told me a number, but I would be making something up now. But I know it in myself, right? My mom documented that I basically stopped producing pictures and other creative output. It went down by 90% or something with the day I started going to school, right? So my question here is, how did you manage to preserve your curiosity? How did your curiosity survive your environment? Or was your environment specifically supportive of your curiosity?
Yeah, great question. I think in my process, when I was in the end of high school, and I needed to decide like what I'm going to do in university and what I'm going to do as a profession, I didn't have any idea what to do. And this is really common. Like I was like 17 years old, no idea. And I think the what felt for me that I didn't get in my school or education or even my family to be stimulated to know more about Felipe and like what Felipe want to do and what's interesting for Felipe. And then it took me maybe a few years in the end of school and in the beginning of university, because I was there, but I didn't know why I was there. I was there because somebody told me you need to finish school and go to university. So I did business as a degree. And like, I did business because I needed to choose something. And then the crazy thing is that the process of understanding, so I started working in a organization that I worked like with suits, like a tie and a suit and a bag. At that time, 20 years ago, that was really, really the cool stuff. So like my parents were really proud, like my son is working with a suit, like going selling stuff and all that. And then one day I realized that my parents were really happy, but that thing didn't make sense for me. I looked at it and said, I don't want to be a CEO of a big corporation, but I'm going into this path, like with a suit, executive, all that. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized that, I said, no, I don't want to do it. And then I went to the complete opposite. So I started working. I quit my job and I started working as a volunteer in the biggest nonprofits that we had, like work with volunteers, we work with education here. And then I worked like for, I don't know, 1 year as a volunteer. And when I graduated from university, that I was supposed to be like really good in the company on that, I was a volunteer. And then I have this idea, my purpose is to change the world, but I wasn't paying my bills. Like I was living with my parents without paying my bills. And that time I said, this doesn't make sense. Like I'm going to change the world, but I cannot pay my bills. Mm. And then in that moment, I realized that I needed to create value of the work that I was going to be doing. Mm. And once I understood how I can create value, because I was curious to learn about something. And then when I create something and then I sell to someone this thing, it gave me like almost like an autonomy to do whatever I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And this shift of my mindset today gives me the certainty that independent what I'm going to do, if I'm curious to learn something, I understand how to learn this thing, and then I apply this, I have my autonomy because somebody's going to pay for that. And I use like the most simple examples with the kids when we were like, if you're curious to know how to build chairs, like you go in YouTube, you do a course and you learn how to build chairs. If you have this value of building chairs, you can work in a company that builds chairs. You can build your chairs and sell directly your chairs. So this, you can apply for everything in life. Once you have this shift and understand that you are able to learn, if you're curious, anything you want, and what you learn, this is value. And then the value can be your work in the future. So this is what happened to me. And to me today, like I feel that I'm free. Because I understood like how to do this process, and now I can do anything that I want to do that gives me curiosity, because all the things that I'm into is something that I look and say, oh, this is really amazing. I'm really, really, really engaged to try to solve this issue, this problem. And I think this is what motivates people around you, because then you have like a big dream and people around you, they believe in the dream. Or they try to plug their dream in something bigger. And that's what I'm trying to build today here in Caldera Institute.
Cool. But before we go there, I have one more question. I think it's important for what you're building right now. And taking that shift from dropping the suit and going into disappointing your parents, not earning any money in a situation that you was completely new to you, took a lot of courage. I was wondering, where did you get that courage?
Yeah, that's also a great question. So it was a really, really difficult moment for me. Mm-hmm. It was really difficult because I didn't know what to do. So like I quit the job, I was a volunteer, but I was trying to understand how to succeed or how to create my career. So it took me maybe a year that I got really, like, really depressed because I didn't know how to get out of that place. So I did a lot of therapy. And in my case, I did psychoanalysis. And this helped me a lot to understand that even if I'm in a bad situation, if I have like depression, I don't know how to get out of this space, I'm able to get out of this place, because like I'm connecting with my inner self and understanding how I can get out of that. That was the most important thing in this journey. A lot more important of finding like the my path or what I was gonna do is understanding that in my life I'm gonna have a lot of times that I'm gonna go down, but how can I recover from that? So this is important, and I think the courage. It was like not something that I thought, no, I need to be courageous, I'm going to do this and that. I just felt that I needed to do that. And no one was telling me that was the right choice. Actually, people were telling me that's the wrong choice. Keep with the suit. Keep the career. This is the path that you need to go. But I knew inside me that that wasn't the right option. So I think the courage is based on something inside of you that no one better than you is able to tell you that that's what you need to do, even though it's gonna be hard.
So the way I'm hearing is that there's a necessity that you felt about doing something specific that was stronger than the fear that the consequences of taking that decision might bring, right? So the feeling into the necessity that comes out of yourself in whatever way that happens, and accepting that and living into that. That's where your courage came from. Cool. So before we go into how we think about how to bring groups of people into coherence around shared goals, which is basically scaling up that journey that you just described, describe a little bit about what do you do today with the project Caldera.
So today I run the educational platform of Tech and Innovation Hub called the Instituto Caldera. It's a nonprofit organization founded by 42 large companies in Brazil. We have a space of 22,000 square meters today. Fully occupied by 530 companies and organizations, universities, schools, the government is here. So it's a really vibrant hub where public sector, private sector, nonprofit sector combine in the same vision to transform the state of Rio Grande do Sul where we are at and to try to change Brazil, looking in an economic development perspective and in a social perspective as well. And then what we do, we have like programs for startup investors and all of that is not new. And then we connect big companies with startups, bringing open innovation, all of that. And in the educational piece, we understood that we had so many companies here with lack of talent that couldn't find talent. So what they would do, they would create their own attraction program, training program to attract talent. So every big company here in Brazil, they have this individual program. We came to them and we said, if we do something that is really big and scalable, would you be interested in applying the program with us? And all of them told us, if you do that, we won't do the program that we're doing. We're just doing because it's really important for us to hire good people, otherwise the business is not going to grow. And then with that perspective, we said, oh, there is an opportunity. And then we connected with the government and to connect with all the public schools from the state of Rio Grande do Sul that we have 2,500 schools just in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. So we said, these kids, they don't know that they can work like with innovation, with technology. They don't know that Instituto Caldera exists. So let's create a bridge between the young people from public schools and the Innovation Hub. So we created a few programs. The biggest program that we have today is called Geração Caldera or Caldera Generation. And we're running the fourth year of the program. We just closed the applications this year. We had 20,000 applications from all over Brazil, from young kids from 16 to 24 years old. So either they are in the end of high school or they graduated in the last 3 years. And then basically it's a big funnel We give them access to online education, good education, through a period of 2 months. And the ones that complete this online education, we select a group every year of 200 students. These 200 students, they come and spend 6 months in an in-person training inside Instituto Caldeira. We bring students from all over Brazil, so we give them place to stay. We give them a scholarship to focus in the program throughout 6 months. They become part of the community of Caldeira. So this is amazing because they stay 6 months and we call it, it's almost like a Disneyland for work and career, because it's not a university, it's not a school, it's a work environment. So they spend 6 months in a work environment, and after that, they understand how the game of the workplace happens and how they need to even create relationships, how they have to have their posture, how do we have to dress and all of that. And then in the end, they have access to all the events and contents that we do here. And then in the end, 90% of the students of the 200 are employed in the companies inside the Instituto Caldeira. And then if you come here one day, Tom, you're going to see, you go around the companies. We have, from the 500 members, we have 150 companies that they have their own office and innovation labs here in Caldeira. You go around and you see a lot of young people inside the companies that came from Geração Caldeira. And then we are talking young people that bring diversity to the companies, because a lot of kids are kids of color. A lot of kids are not the mainstream of corporate world. So you start to change the diversity inside the companies through an educational program. So we're doing this today as a national program. And the idea is to scale this educational program throughout Latin America and Brazil in other innovation hubs, because innovation and tech hubs we have all over the world. But sometimes it's just about business. It's just about, let's bring more investment, let's bring more startups and all that. How can we combine education, access to opportunity of people from underserved backgrounds that will never have the opportunity? And what we've learned in this time is that these kids that come from public schools, we do like a really, really rigorous selection process. They are doing a better job than the kids that comes from the best private schools here in Brazil. So this is amazing, because then they just need an opportunity, because talent is equally distributed. Opportunities are not. So this is what we are trying to change here in Brazil and then going to Latin America.
That means that you have to align a lot of people into a shared vision, into some shared directionality. And that is not very easy to do, right? And things only work if people are moving in somewhat the same direction, because you cannot micromanage everyone. So how do you go about that specific thing? How do you create, out of so many people, a community that is directed towards a shared outcome? How's your process?
Yeah, this is the main strategy of Caldeira is about like engagement. Okay. So when we started, we had we have other innovation scientific parks here, universities, and a lot of other initiatives that already happened and are doing like a work for 20 years, 30 years. When we started, we understood that if Instituto Caldeira is not for everyone, it's not going to work. And then it was created, didn't mention, but it was created. Caldeira was the first project of a civil society movement that started here in Porto Alegre that gathered all the actors, government, private sector, nonprofits, universities. They all gather and say, if we don't collaborate, like we're just gonna, the state was like with a big debt, the security was really bad, and like people were moving away from the state of Rio Grande do Sul. So this movement of civil society said, let's do something together and let's work together. And then the first project that came out of this movement was Instituto Caldeira. So it was born from everyone. And then when it started, we said, oh, it started from big companies that put like the first investment. But we want smaller companies. We want universities. We want the government. The Secretary of Economic and Tourism Development of the city of Porto Alegre, is the office of them is inside Caldeira. So the Secretary of Development of the city works inside Caldeira. This is really important because it's not just a paper that you sign with the government. Oh, we have an agreement and all that. No, they are seeing what's happening, innovation with companies and all that. So the engagement strategy is super important. And thinking about the educational program, the value of the program, it's not that our methodology or our features or what we do is much better than the other programs. The difference is that we have a hub of connections. So we have that we call attraction partners. So we have nonprofits from all over Brazil, secretaries of education of a lot of states that partner with us for us to get access to the students, because Caldeira is not connected to the student, but these organizations are connected and they want to help their students to get a good job, to get a good training. So we partner them to receive like the young people to apply in the program. So this is the first part. Second, we partner with educational partners that have the content, have the technical content and skills that we don't have. So we partner like with big tech companies, but we partner like with universities all over Brazil. We partner with companies that have like specific content there. They are really, really good, sometimes better than even universities because they are working with these subjects. So we have the educational partners. Then we have the employability partners, are the companies that they sign an agreement with Caldeira, they pay us a fee to get access, priority access to the 200 students. So imagine how crazy. Normally you have a program, educational program, you run the program, and after the program, you knock on doors asking the companies kind of a favor. Ah, can I send the CV of my student? What we do is the opposite. When we start a program of 200 students, we have more than 200 opening positions from companies that pay us a fee to say, no, I want to hire these students. And they open specific and exclusive job opportunities for the students. So this is really, really important because you shift. And then I already had meetings with companies. They were pitching me. We have this amazing opportunity, and we taught somebody from your program, and this is the salary, this is the benefits and all that. And I was just thinking, oh my God, like how crazy is this? I'm telling the companies if I'm going to accept the position that they are opening with us, or I'm going to say no. And we say a no to a lot of opportunities that in our opinion is not a good opportunity. It doesn't pay well for the student. So we are changing this shift. And then in the end, we have sponsors. Like there are big companies, there are nonprofits from Brazil. We have international companies investing because this is an 100% free program and we pay scholarship to the students and we need a lot of money to scale the program. So these institutions, they are aligned with the mission and they understand that we are helping them in the theory of change to impact people all over the world in a specific country as Brazil. So this is the value of what we're doing. And this is the community of Caldeira that is maybe different from other projects. And just the last thing, we're going to have an event in 2 weeks from now called Dia de Caldeira. It's Caldeira Day. We bring 1,000 students to spend a Saturday here. And what happens? All the companies, they open their doors of their offices and they create experiences for the students to learn about the fashion market, about technology, about food and tech, you know that. So it's kind of a Disneyland of the career and work opportunity. And then not just only like a fair or an event, because then after the students, I'm going to come and work inside the companies. And this for me is the biggest asset that you have, we have here, is that we employ the students. So education is really important. But in Brazil, if they don't get a good first job after a good education, they are not going to have like a different career. They're going to work in the same work that their parents had and their grandparents had, and they are not going to become or get out of this specific life that they have. And some of them want to change. We had a story of the guy that was the security guard of Instituto Caldeira. Once I was going inside the hub, we had an event for 500 students, a lot of young people all over. And I asked him, how old are you? And he told me, I'm 18 years old. And I asked him, do you know what's happening inside? Imagine 500 students. And he said, I don't have any idea. And then I told him, this is a program for young people from public schools. And I said, are you interested in participating? He said, it would be amazing. And then we had a two-month online program to do it. He did it in 2 weeks, the two-month program. And then he was selected to Geração Caldeira. And right after the program, he was hired of one of the biggest agricultural companies in Brazil. And he works in the innovation department. That's one story of hundreds and hundreds of stories, Tom, of really transforming the student. But this, it transformed their families. Because then their families say, wow, the first time that a person in my family is going to university. And they started earning more money than their parents. So this is like, it's more than just the money. It's more than just the opportunity. It's like a possibility to dream with something that was inaccessible for them before that.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what I'm seeing is the many actors that you bring together, they are really fired up about a big story that you're telling about how this is all interwoven and leads to a good outcome that is much more than the sum of its components. And if we follow that big story to its origin, it seems to me that it comes from that civil society activation group. Can you describe how the process happened within that group that led to that big story that became the project? I think that's very, very interesting to understand.
Sure. 10 years ago, we were living a bad moment in the city and the state, and people were leaving because of security, because of no opportunities. The government was in a debt crisis really big, didn't pay the salaries of people working in public service and all of that. And then it started with the universities. And this is interesting because like we have three big universities here, two are private and one is public university. And then there was a vision of a guy called Marciano Testa, which was the guy that had the ideation of creating Caldeira. And he started looking to the city. He had a business. His business was growing. And he was saying, I'm going to leave Porto Alegre. I'm going to go to São Paulo because it's not a good environment. And then in that time, when he was in this process, he said, but maybe we can try to change something. And then the first thing that he came through is that he understood that the universities never created an agreement between the biggest universities in the state. They never sit down. So this guy, he gathers the dean of the three universities, and then he convinced the dean that if the universities didn't come together to collaborate, the state is going to go down. And then for the first time in the history of the state of Rio Grande do Sul, the three deans assigned a pact that was called Aliança para Inovação, or Innovation Alliance. And that was a symbol of something new happening. And then with this alliance, the next step was to bring the private sector and companies and the government, that this was important. And everyone started to come, but there is always like you take a step back because like movements, this happens all the time. And a lot of times it's just a movement People gather, they talk, they discuss, but they don't really execute anything. And then the difference, in my opinion, in Pacto Alegre, what happened is that the first project was Instituto Caldeira and was created by a guy, really guy that came from nothing. He left his house when he was 13 years old to work by himself. And he created like a giant business. He's a billionaire today, but he came out of nothing. And then this vision coming from a guy like this, it changed the perspective because he said, let's gather everyone and let's do something. And once Caldeira started to do things, people would say, nobody believed that this was going to happen. It's like something utopic. No one believed. And then he articulated 42 companies to put like a first investment to start the project. And a lot of business people would say, I don't believe it's going to work. It's not going to work. And then he would say, so just leave me the doubt of seeing if it's going to work or not. And then people would give the money. And then it started. And what happened was that it was supposed to take 8 years for us to occupy 22,000 square meters. And it happened in 2 years because of execution and because of the mindset of creating a global innovation hub located in Porto Alegre. And this changed totally the perspective that you can be in any small city in the world and create something that can be global. Mm. And this is our thesis from the beginning of the process. And today, the most valuable thing that we have in the state of Rio Grande do Sul is the articulation and the community. Because if you come here, we're going to sit down with the Secretary of Education. We can sit down with the Secretary of Innovation. We can sit down with the governor. We can sit down with the five biggest CEOs of the companies here in Brazil and south of Brazil. So it's kind of something that is everyone wants to the state and the country to development. And it's kind of, if we found our Caldeira is like a path that we can put everyone together in the same path. And I think this is really hard to do in other initiatives that I already participated in the past.
Mm. So in essence, it's a grew out of, again, necessity, right? Just like your dharma grew out of necessity and your courage of many, many people, basically the whole state. And what it took was one person with a strong vision who could bring together, in this case, the universities, but some people, some other entities that say, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it together. Let's take the first step. And then that creates a symbol that then cascades into more. But what's crucial is to have an activation point, right? Something that crosses a threshold from just talking in circles into actual doing. So if I put this in a line, you need a juicy problem that you want to solve. You need a strong vision that can be held by one person in the beginning, but then needs to be spread to first adopters that stand up and say, we're doing this now, to attract others in. And then you have to be careful to orchestrate that there's action that happens out of this. Yeah. Is that a valid summary? Would you say?
Yeah, that's a really good summary. It's a really good summary. And I would add that you have to have like an amazing leader that it's going to execute and do this. And we have here, which is Pedro Valeri, which is the CEO of Instituto Caldeira, that was the right guy at the right time, at the right place. And this is not easy to happen. And in the case, it was Marciano with the vision, and then he found the right guy to be the CEO of the organization. And then I think this changes a lot because today we have around 100 people that work in Caldeira. And the biggest challenge that we have to grow and our barriers to grow is talent. Because the business, it's like a hub, a physical hub and all that. But the value is about the intelligence, what you do behind it, the software. Mm-hmm. It's not the hardware. The hardware is easy. You get like an old factory, you restore and all that. This is not new. That's happening all over the world. But the software, what you do inside, and then mm-hmm. the community is center-based. Like everything we do, we put community in the center. And this mm-hmm. is like our challenge with our team every day for them mm-hmm. to remember that. Because sometimes we say, no, I think that this is the way to do it. This, the community has to say what's the right thing to do, not mm-hmm. the employee of Caldera.
Mm-hmm. So it takes, as I said, somebody with a vision, but this guy apparently had more than just a vision. He also had the understanding that he wasn't the right guy to execute it. So he found the right guy. So I see many, many people with great vision. And what would you say to them? What is important to start moving into something that actually manifests in the world, that brings a coherent community around them? What would you say? Where should they start? What should they do?
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, to have a vision is important because it's hard to gather people and create something if there isn't something that it's interesting for people to come together. So I think the vision is the starting point, but I see so many visionaries that cannot get the vision into something. So I think the hard part is not having the vision. The hard part is how you bring a vision into reality. And then I think each organization or each community or each challenge has its own specific things to do. But I think if you have a vision and you have the capacity of doing stuff, and as you do stuff, people start seeing that and they come together, I think that's the best way. It's the phrase of the film, like build and they will come. That's what we did. If mm-hmm. we go back and say, let's build a 22,000 square meters hub and say, people are going to come or not going to come, everyone will say, don't do it. You're going to waste mm-hmm. your money. And now we're going from 22,000 to 120,000 square meters to build an innovation district. That's the next step that we're doing. If you come here, it's really interesting because in the beginning, there was nothing. So the companies will come here and then Pedro would say, here is going to be an office for 400 people. Here is going to be this. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, just an idea. Mm-hmm. So people would come and say, I don't know if that's going to work. Mm-hmm. But today, as we have the 22,000 like 100% occupied, mm-hmm. I take you to the other side of the street and then we have more 80,000 square meters to grow. And I tell you, we did this. Now we're going to do that. And then you visualize and you see and you say, oh, these guys are not kidding. These guys created this. I believe that they could create the next step. So I think these symbols of creating something, it could be small, but create something because people need to see. And when people see that happening, they believe. And then when they believe, they engage.
Okay, so basically, as fast as you can, build something tangible out of the vision with whatever you have available so that people can start seeing what you see. That's basically what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tap back into something that seems to be a skill of yours to really get in touch with what's inside of you, with your feeling and your essence. And I have a suspicion that what we find in there, if we do this, if we listen closely to what it is that the human inside us has to say, that most of us find the same thing, right? Another way to say this is 300,000 years of being human is more powerful than 300 years of destruction, right? So there's something really, really common between us. But most of that, what is common between us, is not really articulated. It's not something we usually bring to the foreground, right? But that's something you did, right? You by putting down the suit and doing what you were called, was felt called to. Now, if you tap into this full space of being a human, and into that those known unknowns or unknown knowns rather, which of those or would you like to lift up into visibility? Well, what would you like to articulate so that everybody sees, oh, we all have that, every human has that, and it's something that brings us together as a much, much bigger community of a species? What would you like to get, have all of us see?
Yeah, I think first, like the where we are going as a civilization is really scary. And I used to think about something when I was younger. I would say, and I wrote down this a few times. I said, when the people are naked, they are all the same. They are not all the same. Everyone has the same or a similar like body. And then when we start putting clothes, things like on top of us, that this starts to give like a different signal. So you wear like really fancy clothes, you wear like poor clothes or something like that. So I think in looking back, everyone naked is the same. And I think we forget this. Because if we're the same, we have the same emotions, we have the same feelings, we have the same relations. And I think people, usually, in general, they are good. They are good. They are not born to be, oh, I'm going to be a guy that's going to kill somebody, I'm going to be a robbery or something. They are good. But the society and what we created, it creates things for people to be good, better, or be what they want to be. So I truly believe that people are good in the inside. I truly believe that everyone has similar issues, things and all that. And I think we don't have much spaces of talking about that. No. And if we look at young people and we look at schools where I'm working a lot, is that the best moments that we have, even with the students here in Caldera, is when we sit down in a circle and we open a space for people to tell what is important for them to tell without a subject, without a topic. And then usually what comes out from young people is things related to the relationship with their parents, with the relationship with the childhood that they have. And a lot of things are really similar to other kids sitting down, but they don't know that. They think that that's just them. They think that not knowing what to do is just with them, or having like a really bad childhood is just with them. And then when you share that and people listen and you see that other people are in the same shoes or were in the same shoes as you, this creates like a moment of intimacy that is so, so powerful that I think we lack in all the organizations, at school, at family, at friends and all that. So I think in the end, this could be applied for everyone, not just only for kids or students. This can be applied for CEOs of big companies. This can apply for any type of people. And I think when you go like higher in the hierarchy and the work and you get more money, you kind of put more like armor inside of you. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost that you are this guy in this position, so you cannot be like a human being. You cannot be vulnerable. You cannot be who you are. And I think there is like a lot of movements and example of leaders that are becoming like more vulnerable and more human beings. But I think in the end, it's a hard question trying to bring something concrete. But in the end, I think that we need to help people for them to access like what's inside them. I think this is the biggest challenge that we have in the world, because if the people connect with themselves, I'm sure they're going to be a better father or parent. They're going to be a better worker. They're going to be a better citizen. But I feel that people are so disconnected with their inner self. And this is really bad, because they just do what they think they should be doing. And I think that's taking us to a place where it's really scary. And when we think of artificial intelligence, I would just listen to a podcast from the New York Times. I'm going to share with you after. It's scary times that we're coming, but it can be also an opportunity. And then the last thing like that everything. Is in my mind that I want to share with you is that Latin America is lost about technology. We don't have any big tech companies there like ruling the world, and that's what happened. So we don't have any power in the future because we don't have the technology. The only way, in my opinion, for the region to be with a little bit of power is if we support a new generation of young people that know how to use the technology. Because if they know how to use the technology, this is their autonomy for the future that I was talking before. This is their autonomy for them to how to learn the tools that they're going to use in work, how to get a work and a job opportunity. Because if they don't have access to that, we're going to be more far away behind than we are right now. So I think there is a good thing about technology if we take advantage, and it's not for company A, B, or C, and the big techs doing all the educational work they're doing. It's not about that. It's an agnostic process of having the technology, knowing how to use the tools, because this is going to bring autonomy and freedom to people, not only Latin America, but all over the world. Because if they don't get this, then we are in a really, really bad situation.
So moving back to the question, and then I want to tap into that for a moment. But what I heard was that you say we're actually quite similar, and we're actually more good than bad. But we're also a function of our environment. So it's important to create safe spaces and positive environments so that we can actually be good and show each other that we are, which then helps create an environment that makes that possible for more people. And the way you see this scaling up is through something similar that created a project, which is enormous pressure that was on the state, but you're extrapolating that into basically all of Latin America, saying we don't have any position of innovation or the innovative power in the world. Let's change that, because otherwise we'll be at the receiving end, and let's turn it around. So great and big and important work that you're doing there. I know that in September, there's an opportunity to experience what you're doing in real life, because you're doing a big festival. So everybody who wants to see this in action and in full color, what should they do?
Yeah, so we're going to help September 29 to October 3rd. We're going to host a big event called the Caldera Week here. Then we're going to gather 15,000 people from all over the world to discuss about important issues like education, like environment, sustainability, how to create like a innovation city that connects with the urban development and all of that, about like business innovation and all of that. And I think the most important thing is that this inside an innovation district that is being built. So we're gonna have that this in Porto Alegre, south of Brazil. And I would love to have people from all over the world if they listen to the podcast, and we would love to receive here. And we have something special here in Porto Alegre, is that we think the main core of the community is hospitality. So if we receive well people that come here, they are going to come back. Or either if we go to Berlin, as you said, we're going to have like a good... And this is something, it seems similar, it seems simple, but it makes a lot of difference. We just have had an event 2 months ago for 25,000 people here in Porto Alegre. And the most interesting parts of the events are the side events. It's not only the main lectures and speakers, are the side events. And just Instituto Caldeira did, in a week, 65 side events, not in the formal event. So this is about community. This is about gathering people from all over the place with specific things, well curated. And like, let's do a lunch with 20 people. We do almost every day lunches here in Caldeira. And the challenge is like, how can we put the right people at the table with the right speaker that came from a place and another place and said, come here, we gather people, and then everyone wins, because the guy that is coming from the United States to speak here, he said, how can you gather 20 people for this lunch, and then the lecture has 500 people watching, and it's all about having your community, being close to your community, and delivering values and being valuable to the community. So this is what we're doing. It's like still a small experiment. So we're operating in the last 4 years. But if I look further to the next 5-10 years, maybe we can create something that can be like a reference globally. And maybe this could start other initiatives and other things. So I'm really happy, Tom, to reconnect with you. And it was a pleasure also to do this conversation with you. And I hope we have more conversations. And I hope you can come to Brazil in Semana Caldeira.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I will. And thank you so much for the time this morning, and also for all the work you're doing. And I'm pretty sure, with all the energy that's in there, that that vision that you have for the next 5 to 10 years, that'll all happen. So with that, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.